As we make preparations to hear Mark's gospel for us this day, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words in the scriptures, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives. We are thankful for the many servants that recorded these words. We are thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived them, who spoke them, who has shared them. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, give us a sense of peace and rest and comfort from our daily lives and schedules. And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For in Christ we pray. Amen. This is one of the passages that I enjoy preaching a little differently. If I were to have you stand for the gospel reading, you would stand, sit, stand, and sit. So you're just going to stay seated today. This morning's scripture is a turning point in Mark's gospel. Jesus is introducing to his disciples what's called the coming of the Passion, the coming of that journey to Jerusalem for Holy Week. And it begins his movement towards Jerusalem. And so listen and hear these words that begin with verse 27 of chapter 8. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Now, by this time, there's been a lot of conversation about Jesus and who he is. But Jesus wants to know, what is the word out on the street? What are the disciples hearing? Many people have been asking, who is he? What is his mission? And there were all kinds of different hopes and expectations of who and what the Messiah for Israel was to be. Is this Jesus the one? The confessions of the people's view of Jesus all say one thing about him. They at least think Jesus is the forerunner to the Messiah. After all, it is easier to believe that the Messiah will come than it is to believe that the Messiah has come. To keep Messiah as something that is not yet here, that has not yet arrived, means that everything in our daily lives and living gets to stay the same. But to believe that the Messiah is present here in our midst, well, that requires us to change. To alter our demands of daily life and living, to have a new lifestyle. And so Jesus then makes the question a little more personal. Who do you say that I am? Now, Peter's always the one that is a little more anxious to speak than he is to think first. And he blurts out of his mouth, "You are the Messiah." Ah, he has said it. It's out in the open. Perhaps it was on the minds of all of the disciples, but they just weren't yet ready to publicly proclaim that in front of the other disciples. Jesus must be the Messiah. But Peter dared to admit it. And the disciples had been with Jesus and watching him for some time over the last couple of years. They were convinced that he was a different leader, a chosen leader sent by God. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" The scriptures continue. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great sufferings and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus said all of this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciple, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Rejection and suffering is not something that we usually go after. It's something that we try to avoid at all costs. And so when Jesus starts talking about rejection and suffering at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, this is more than Peter can handle. He's got to speak out. And Peter may have fallen into the same trap as Jesus' relatives. Well, maybe he tripped and stumbled and hit his head on a rock. There's something going on a little different. Maybe Jesus needs to be exercised. Maybe there's something going on there we're just not quite aware of. And so Peter has just confessed previously that Jesus is the Messiah, and now Peter is challenging Jesus on what it means. Peter has already forgotten who Jesus is. But Peter probably has his own view or picture of what the Messiah is to be. And this suffering Jesus at the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees just does not fit Peter's picture. Now, even without all of this sharp language, anyone growing up in a traditional society would know that a student does not treat the teacher this way. Children don't treat their moms and dads this way. But Jesus' reaction is swift to Peter, and he refers to him as Satan. And we're reminded then of how Mark's gospel began with the temptations of Jesus through Satan, and Satan left for an opportune time. Jesus Christ was and is a loyal and faithful follower to his mission and ministry to the world. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And then he called the crowd to come together with his disciples, and he said to them, "Look, if any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? For those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The disciples have participated in Jesus' ministry of healing and preaching. And now they have to discover that they also are to participate in the ministry of his suffering. And anyone who attempts to call the world into account before the gospel and the teachings of Jesus Christ must be ready to sacrifice self-interest. The path of self-denial is not for just the 12 disciples alone. Jesus calls us to more than self-denial. He calls us to put others first. Jesus calls for a personal devotion, a positive devotion to him and to the good news that he brings into the world. Jesus Christ came into the world to live as one of us, to be our teacher and our example, to live and to share the good news of Almighty God. And Jesus came that we might have life and have that abundant new life. The vision of Jesus Christ was that of the people picking up their crosses and living for the mission and ministry of Christ, that it might then ripple and spread throughout all the world. Just as we drop that pebble in a puddle and those ripples go to the shoreways of that whole body of water. Oh, what a vision, what a calling. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" Came upon a story that said some 350 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. The first year they established a town. The next year they elected a town government. The third year, the government planned to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. In the fourth year, the people tried to impeach their town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles into the wilderness. Who needed to go there anyway? Here were a group of people who had seen or who had traveled 3,000 miles across an ocean, had overcome great hardship, but in just a few years, they were not even able to see 5 miles beyond their city. They had lost their pioneering vision. My friends, as we look at the presence of Jesus Christ, with a clear vision of what we can become through the power and presence of Jesus Christ, nothing is too difficult for us to overcome. But without that power and presence of Jesus Christ, we rarely move beyond our boundaries of comfort. Jesus asks you and me, "Who do you say that I am?" Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, with every step that we take this week, with every conversation we have, with every decision that we will make, with every action that we do, it will speak volumes as to how we answer the question, who do you say that I am? Oh God, may we faithfully represent your Son, Jesus Christ, in the world. For it is in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.